Voice of Fintech.
Hello and welcome to Voice of Fintech MENA Middle East and North Africa series. In this series, you will hear inspirational stories of entrepreneurs, corporate innovators, investors, and ecosystem hub leaders from the Middle East and North Africa. My name is Rudy Falad. I'm the founder of the Voice of Fintech podcast. This episode is hosted by Dora.
Hello, everyone. So welcome to the Voice of Fintech, MENA Region Edition. I'm your host today, Dora Mahbouli, and today we are thrilled to have Andrew Ryabchuk with us, the visionary founder of Akureteku. So join us on the show. Andrew is a recognized leader in the fintech industry, known for his deep expertise in the payment solution and financial technology. Under his leadership, Akureteku has become a beacon for innovation, offering cutting-edge payment orchestration solutions. And today, we will dive into Andrew's experience and unique value of Akureteku that brings to the Saudi Arabia market, among other type of topics, what are the challenges for him, etc. So without further intro, let's do start with questions and welcome Andrew to this session.
Thank you very much. But first of all, thank you, Dora, for the invitation for this podcast. And I hope today's conversation will be helpful for all listeners and let's say visitors of the media. So I'm ready to start.
Nice, amazing. So Andrew, just to start, could you share with us the why behind Akureteku? Like what inspired you to specifically focus on that payment orchestration platform and the white label kind of payment gateway solutions? What's the why behind it?
First of all, me as the founder of the company and my co-founders, three of us actually, me, my CEO of the company, Vlad, and Alexandra, all three of us have significant experience in payment landscape. Me personally have more than 15 years experience in fintech and different projects, mostly related to payment processing. So I found a few companies in Europe which are still up and running. And I was able, let's say, to track the all over development of the payment industry, payment infrastructure. And it's quite different, let's say, how it was 15 years ago. Yeah. And the complexity of technology, the complexity of licensing issues, requirements from the market, which, let's say, needs from you to create very specific products. So we decided on some certain moment to concentrate on the pure technological solution, which Akureteku is actually, and avoid, let's say, limitations of licensing, limitations of, let's say, concentrating on some specific verticals. And that's how Akureteku actually was born. Like 3-4 years ago, we identified that, let's say, especially for greenfield PSPs, but not only for greenfield PSPs, to concentrate on pure business activities like sales and marketing. And for them, it makes sense to outsource the whole technological solution to some others. And historically, exactly, it was a time when the other competitors just appeared on the market. Majority of them also have experience in the payment sector. And even 4 years ago, it was not such a word of payment orchestration. But then it's appeared. And so we decided to step in and it's here and now.
Okay, so Andrew, this was the why behind it. But if we want to have a focus about your operation in Saudi Arabia, right? What unique value do you offer in that market? And how you would differentiate from other players that are in Saudi market or in the region? Like how you position yourself?
As I said earlier, I already, let's say, had significant experience, which actually means that we already had the first and the second generation of the platform. So it's currently which Akureteku sells the platform by itself. It's the third generation of the processing platform, which let's say normally suited for different types of our clients, among them payment service providers, international merchants, telecom companies, banks, and so on. The unique features or let's say unique differentiation we believe we have, it's our support based on the understanding of all details of payment business, because we have such experience. Also, which is very important, the flexibility of installation, because in Saudi Arabia, like in other countries in the region, there is regulation to process all transactions on the Saudi soil. So our platform and systems allow us to do that. So we are cloud agnostic, we can do installations on bare metal and so on. So the flexibility of installations. And of course, the cutting-edge technologies, because the third generation of FlowSplat platform means that we already made, let's say, all lessons learned, and we made all conclusions after the first and the second, let's say, generations. And that's like it is. all mentioned, I believe.
Okay, so you mentioned that you have multiple type of clients that could be a part of your ecosystem. However, can you develop in one or two use case that you have developed in the region or in Saudi market? And what type of other use cases that you would be thinking of where we can use the white label payment gateway that you're providing?
The first client in Saudi Arabia, let's say, signed with us almost 3 years ago. Back in the time, it was, let's say, the Greenfield PSP, and the market was quite different, like three and a half years ago in Saudi Arabia. It was only one regulator, SAMA, instead of two regulators, SPG and SAMA now. And this type of client, like Greenfield, which actually the startup PSP, which is trying to focus on some specific vertical or, let's say, some specific geo in this particular case, this and geo and the vertical, could be one of good examples of potential customers of ours. So when the PSP is starting, PSP needs to get a license, PSP needs to start its sales and marketing activities. But at the same time, the PSP needs to invest a lot of money and efforts into developing of the processing platform. Instead, this company could rent it from us. So that's why the Greenfield PSPs or startup PSPs among very important sector and segment of our potential customers. There are different, let's say, more examples on Saudi market. For instance, the PSP originally from UAE have, let's say, plans to expand to different markets, and among those markets is Saudi Arabia, because it's hard to overestimate, let's say, importance of the Saudi market. And of course, let's say, they operate in, let's say, there is no such regulation that you have to have platform be installed inside the country. So to be able to work in Saudi Arabian market, you have to make installation of your platform, the old one or the new one, on the Saudi market. So that's why for that PSP, more matured, already have presence in UAE and other countries, makes absolute sense to start with us and to rent the platform from us, having experience and let's say having more working connections with data centers and with the cloud providers, certified already from local regulators. So it's another, let's say, segment of our customers, also PSP, which are trying to expand to new market. And for them, of course, to decrease, time to market and to increase efficiency makes absolutely perfect sense to start with us. As one more example could be, let's say, creating side business, payment business from already established companies like telecoms. So normally telecoms have significant client bases, yeah, and the payments always coming pretty close nearby of telecom services. So pretty often they can recognize additional revenue streams in it, and let's say to combine it with their own product, they definitely need the payment platform. So telecom providers could be not only telecom providers, it could be like any other, let's say, service providers, IT providers, like cable providers, TV providers, and so on. So for them, it makes absolutely perfect sense not to invest into creating this in-house, but either rent it from us. So it's the sort, quite significant segment of our customers, not only Saudi, but in Saudi as well.
Okay, great. Like you have multiple type of clients, from telecom to startups to some established kind of company, depending on the use case. The decision to enter the Saudi Arabian market must have been strategic. Can you elaborate, like, why did you choose to get into this market? So 3 years ago, right, before even some regulation challenges added up to the picture. So why did you decide to enter the market, especially since 3 years ago? And what's the vision for you in for that market? Like, how do you plan to involve? How do you plan to, like, give more offerings to meet the changing demands? What's going on?
Yes, choosing to enter the Saudi Arabian market was a quite strategic move for Croateco. And that was driven by such reasons as, like, rapid digital growth. By far, the country is developing quite fast. It's, let's say, really visible by the eye. So, like, the last, I've just returned from LEAP. We were participating on LEAP, one of the biggest tech conferences in the world. This year, it was like 215,000 visitors and few thousands of exhibitors. It was really huge. So I can see, let's say, the difference, how it was like in October of last year and then in October of previous year and how it is now. So the life is changing pretty rapidly. Everything is changing. And the fintech segment, let's say, one of the leaders is changing very fast. So it's one of the reasons, rapid digital growth. Also, Vision 2030. The whole idea behind it, it looks very impressive. And the country's Vision 2030 aims to diversify the economy, and, to boost the digital sector. And it's create really welcoming environment for all fintech innovations and for such companies as ours. Market gap. The population of Saudi is more than their neighbors. So it's 40 million and slightly more. And this is rich country. And you cannot overestimate the market gap. And despite the growth, there was and there is room for more flexible and comprehensive payment solutions. And if you tailor it for local needs, you can succeed. You can get success, definitely. And the economic potential is also clear for Saudi Arabia. It has large economy in its position as a leader in the region, suggested a significant opportunity for growth and for expansion. We saw Saudi Arabia as a market ripe for digital payment solutions with, from one hand, strong government backing, but also regulations, but the growth could not be delivered without regulations. And let's say we see this gap, which Croateco, let's say, approach, flexible, innovative, technical, good field. In regards of the vision for Croateco's future in the Saudi Arabian market, let's say, in regards of the product, because we, first of all, we are a technological company. We see the potential in the more payment options, let's say, integrating more payment options to the platform, including, let's say, mobile POS, BNPL, and others, which are rapidly growing on the market. Stay up to date with rules. Nevertheless, we are a technological company and we are not obliged to be licensed, but our clients are obliged to be licensed. So we have to understand what's going on and stay up to date with rules and with licensing rules and regulations and so on. Use smart technology. Nowadays, it's not a big secret that AI is booming, and AI probably for fintech also could be the next big thing. We're already using AI for creating new payment integrations, for the anti-fraud checks, and for many other aspects. So I think that investing into AI would be for us quite important and on Saudi Arabia market as well. Help business go global, because some companies are starting from Saudi Arabia, some companies from the region, from MENA region. Some companies would like to expand to Saudi Arabia. And because of differentiation into payment options, regulations, and so on, it's sometimes not easy to deliver. So we would like to help businesses to go global. Of course, it's very important to find and to work with local partners. This is the mentality of the region, and definitely it helps you, let's say, to move faster. So we plan to team up with local banks and companies to provide better services and to more tailored products for the market and so on. We also would like to support the community, so we are visiting a few events in Saudi. As I mentioned earlier, it was Leap. Then we're going this year to Seamless. It's going to be, let's say, second time for us visiting Seamless with a booth. It's important to support community and, let's say, to move forward with that. No, and at the end, of course, the main goal for all of us and our customers is to make payments easier for everyone, more seamless, more fancy. So like that, yeah, in a few words.
Yeah, Andrew, thanks for these insights and very clear vision that you have from the Saudi market. You said earlier that you're like more a technology like company rather than from the fintech, let's say, regulation part, but still regulation plays a crucial role in the fintech sector in general. And also for when we have a regulation that is updating all the time. So it's very important to keep up with that regulation. So to which extent do these frameworks in Saudi Arabia impact your operations, even though you're a technology firm, okay, and product development? And how you ensure the compliance, either for you or for your clients, actually, even if you're not licensed. As you mentioned, your clients should be licensed sometimes. And how do you ensure that the whole framework is keeping up with the regulation, with SAMA, etc.? Do you have a team internally? How do you expect to develop the product while taking into consideration these updates?
The first of all, we'd like to get back in history, like 3 years ago. And back in the time, it was only one regulator, SAMA. But now there are two. It's SAMA and SPG, Saudi Payment Gateway, and the Saudi Arabian Monetary Authority. And both of them significantly shape our operations and product development. And we, as you said, it's absolutely correct. So nevertheless, we are not under direct, let's say, regulation of those two, but our clients are. And we closely monitor the forthcoming regulations by SPG and SAMA. And these regulations are really crucial for ensuring the security efficiency of your fintech operations. We, let's say, the main, not a regulator, but the main guidance for us, it's a certification of PCI DSS Level 1 service provider, as which we are doing on annual basis. And but this is more technological stack, yeah? So if one of our clients would like to achieve the financial license, let's say in Saudi Arabia, they need to provide documents and all, let's say, procedures we are normally preparing and aligned for PCI DSS certification, but not only. So that's why, let's say, we have few people in-house which are helping our customers to prepare and to implement those procedures, which are guided inside the guidance of both technical SPG regulator and the financial regulator in SAMA. And by monitoring those updates, let's say, and those documents, we're staying ahead of these updates. We are proactively adjust our products to comply with new requirements, because we all the time getting the feedback from our customers, and they're getting feedback from the landscape of the licensing regulations also is dramatically changed. Let's say for the last 2 years, it's been noticeable increase in the number of licenses issued by the regulator. So it's showing a year-to-year multiplication. So 3-4 years ago, SAMA issued probably 3-4 licenses, and the last 2 years it was dozens, and continued to multiply. And of course, it's that every new license and every new, let's say, certification comes with new requirements and becomes harder and more sophisticated to obtain. And also for us means that it's harder, let's say, to comply with those rules and regulations. But the key, let's say, of success here is just to stay up to date with what regulator wants, and to understand what is background for these requirements. And that's actually what we're trying to do and what we are doing pretty successfully for the moment.
Okay, so you're more in a proactive approach, actually. So you anticipate, you try to be very close to the client.
Yes.
At the same time, you have feedbacks and you anticipate.
Absolutely.
You're ready.
Yes, we have to, because otherwise we would not be able to deliver and the product which is expected from our customers.
Okay, very clear and very important success formula that you just shared with us. But talking about some collaboration that are a little bit challenging, usually it's between fintechs and traditional financial institutions, which are increasing, but at the same time, they are still challenging. So how do you, what role do you play and how do you collaborate with both, especially when it has to be a three type of use case, three models on the same time, like a traditional bank that is involved in a project, a fintech and Acuratico, for example. How do you enhance this payment ecosystem through this type of collaboration, especially that this type of collaboration is still challenging?
In Acuratico, we team up with banks and financial institutions, and those financial institutions and banks could be either our clients or could be partners of our clients or partners of ours normally, yeah? And it makes different scenario working with them. But in general, let's say, if you're talking about the partnership, let's take the banks like, for instance, our customers, yes, potentially, yeah? Even banks have big networks and lots of customers that not always quick to change and to, let's say, to deliver the product which is expected by the client within this time frame. Yep. And so we create partnership with banks to, let's say, to connect our advanced payment tech with their services and with their client base. And it means, let's say, it's win because businesses and customers get more better and payment options. So could be example, like if the bank is working on the processing software, the big and sophisticated one, like MPGS or CyberSource, MPGS by the MasterCard and CyberSource by Visa. And on some certain moment, the bank would like identify and would like to step in more into direct communication of with merchants. Yep. And the merchants is expecting to have the merchant onboarding portal, some simple and convenient dashboards, reporting, billing section, so on. Not always this processing software related mostly for the card processing has these features. And that's, you know, exactly what could be the good fit with us. So we get become top up on this banking processing software and to deliver for the bank and for their customers really demanded services and to do it quite quickly because we are comparing with a bank, we are small and very flexible and fast company. And but at the same time, it's hard to overestimate to the licensing and licenses which bank have and a huge client base. So having quick solutions, having tech solutions, having, let's say, cutting edge solutions and having their customer base normally brings a lot of value for banks and let's say exactly what customers expected in that moment. In regards of rules, even with new, let's say, regulations by SAMO or by SPG, if it relates in particular for, let's say, handling of customer data. Yeah. So to implement it for the bank, it takes a lot of time because it's a huge organization with all procedures and bureaucracy and so on. Instead, the bank could outsource it for us. And let's say we, as a front end of their actually product, could implement it much faster. And let's say to be aligned with changes and to be aligned with the new regulations. And it's also win. And the bank, let's say, if the bank do it faster than their competitors, of course, it would be definitely significant advantage comparing to others. Easy to use and innovation as we have in our platform also could attract bank and attracts banks a lot and our expertise because we are not only software providers, but we also, you know, professionals with more than 15 years experience. So our expertise is very important for banks because the banks normally do a lot of things. So it's not, the bank's not focused on only on payments. It's focused on payments, on loans, on credits, on different verticals of banking products. And it's not possible to be professional everywhere. So we have quite specific and very deep expertise in this segment. And it helps, let's say, to create a really successful and mutual collaboration with banks. In short, our collaboration with banks and financial institutions helps them and us bring the best of both worlds, the big networks and our fast, flexible tech. And at the end, it means quicker, better payment option for businesses and customers in Saudi Arabia in particular.
Clear. Thanks a lot, Andrew, for these insights. And as I understand, the technical solutions are important, but as well, the expertise of the team is very important to make it more agile, more, you optimize much better and you would be quicker into implementation. Finally, if I have to ask you a question, as an entrepreneur with an expertise more than 15 years, as you mentioned, in the payments sector, in the fintech field in general, what advice would you give to startups that are looking to innovate in the payment solutions in Saudi Arabia? I'm focusing into startups because still the other kind of clients are also looking with for such advice, but especially startups that are moving, they are created already and they are moving in the Saudi Arabia market, or they are starting from scratch in the Saudi Arabia market. They would need also this type of expertise even more, especially in the beginning, and to gain some go-to-market enhancement. So what advice would you give to such clients?
Like with any market, but I think that it's especially important for Saudi Arabian market. I think that every startup has to understand the local market nuances, because it has to be dive deep into understanding the unique needs, regulations, and customer behaviors. Because each market has its nuances, but Saudi Arabian market, as I said, it has a lot of nuances. And success often depends on how your solution is tailored, and how you meet those local specifics, how you find your local partners, do you work with them efficiently, and so on. Second, I would advise also to focus on compliance, because I said multiple times during today's discussion that regulation is upcoming, and it's quite fast and quite different comparing how it was 3-4 years ago. So if you would focus on compliance, and if you're fintech which needs to be compliant, or if, let's say, you're tech fin like us, but still, let's say, working with clients, we should be under the compliance of regulators. You have, let's say, to take care about that and put a lot of attention. It's not only avoids future complication, but also builds trust with your partners and your customers, which is important. Try to build flexible solutions. The payment landscape is rapidly evolving. Design your platform or your product. Be flexible, be scalable. And be working on modern technologies, infrastructural technologies, so it can quickly adapt to new regulations, payment methods, customer demands. If you're talking about the startup from the fintech segment in particular, invest in the partnership, leverage partnership, collaborate with local banks, collaborate with financial institutions, with other fintechs, with technological providers, and let's say, have access to some local societies and exchange opinions. It definitely will help navigate your complex financial ecosystem. Invest in security. Invest in redundancy. Recently on Leap, I was on the presentation by the checkout.com, and with the growth of the financial products, with the growth of the payments on the market, the importance of security, importance of, let's say, of handling cases like failed declines is very important. And I would say that security is quite promising scope for potential startups, if, let's say, if you concentrate on it. But if you're not concentrating on it, if it's not your core business, think about security. Don't forget about that, because otherwise, on the stage of your rapid growth, it could make, let's say, unpleasant joke with you. Concentrate on next user experience. Users are different in different countries, and they expect, let's say, different from almost the same product, in, or different aspects for them are important. Simplify the payment process for users. Let's say if you talk about payments, the seamless, intuitive user experience can increase dramatically your acceptance rate and your revenue. So think about user experience. Educate your audience. In emerging markets, it's very important. And let's say, especially the new product is coming, to the market, BNPL or not BNPL, or more sophisticated product. You have to educate your audience, and then you will get, definitely you'll get reward afterwards. And the last but not the least, be patient and persistent. Because I'm not saying something is going slow, but as I said, because of mentality, probably it takes some time to achieve some results. This my advice, amazing. I think.
No, very clear. And I really liked your advice about the security part, that we tend to not keep into the priorities, let's say. It's like one of the points that we think about, but maybe not as a priority from the beginning. But anticipating this part, I think it's very important. Very great advice and insight about this, Andrew. So Andrew, just before we finish, where can we find you? How can we reach out the best to Akuratiku? Yeah.
Me personally, you can find everywhere. I'm always, you know, on LinkedIn. Like anyone feel free, let's say, to contact me through LinkedIn, because it's normally my working, let's say, environment. And I would be more than happy to discuss any, let's say, any thoughts on this matter or to answer any questions. Of course, you always can find any of my colleagues and me on our website, akurateko.com. And actually on our website, you can find also the nearest events where we are participating, let's say, to be able to meet face to face and probably to discuss some topics from industry, or to, let's say, to exchange opinions and so on. And like that, and if you, let's say, today topic for today is Saudi Arabia, as I said, so I will be happy to see you in Riyadh on Seamless. If I'm not mistaken, it's going to be in September of this year. Or if you're talking about region, it's going to be Seamless in Dubai, end of May. So like that. And if you by chance in Europe, there are plenty of on events I'm participating, but if not me, my colleagues. So feel free to contact me any way you which is convenient and good for you.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks a lot. I really had the pleasure listening to your insights, your advice, and I hope the audience as well. Do you have anything to add to this session before we finished up?
In regards of what's happening now in fintech, I think that we are currently living in very interesting period of time. The new businesses are, let's say, appearing, which like 3, 4, 5 years ago was not even, let's say, in dreams. And the new opportunities are coming with those new businesses, with those new segments or verticals. New markets are opening. Hard to imagine that you were able, let's say, even to travel to Saudi Arabia 6, 7 years ago. It was almost impossible for average European. Now it's one of the most prominent market in the region. So I think that we have quite a good time, especially for fintech. And if you do everything properly, if you really believe in your idea, if you put a lot of efforts, if you work hard, if you create not only product but the culture around the product, if you believe in this culture, let's say, if you try to find good partners, I think that the success is going to be 100%. And I would advise to the whole audience to keep up, to move on, and so to do what they want and to achieve the goals they want, because it's all possible.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks a lot again. So this was the Voice of Fintech, MENA region session, and hope that you enjoyed it and keep listening to us. Thank you, Andrew. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Dora. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Voice of Fintech podcast. If you haven't already, check out also voiceoffintech.com, where you will find all the episodes and additional resources related to the podcast. You can also subscribe to Voice of Fintech on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or any other podcast app that you like. If you have any suggestions on the topics or guests, or how to make this podcast better for you, please email us at info@voiceoffintech.com. Happy to hear from you. Thank you.